I don't know about anybody else, and maybe it's just me today, but worship has been so rich thus far today. The songs we were singing and the lyrics therein. Our prayer time. I'm so humbled. God is so faithful. He is so good. He is so true. I would like everyone to listen really carefully. Anyone who's distracted for a moment, listen. Hopefully for the whole time, because here's what I'm going to encourage you with today. Everyone in here today, if you are in here today, if you're listening to this later, but you that are in here today, my encouragement to you, my admonition to you is to listen. Have your brains turned on. Listen to the words that are spoken. Think. These words, the Bible, here, they will show us Christ. In John, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. So Jesus said about His people, how they will be sanctified is by the word. So believers, we must listen and think and turn our brains on and be transformed in how we think. This says, in Romans 1:16, Paul says, what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. Unbelievers, you need to listen. Because the only way you can be saved is via the gospel. That's how faith is derived, by hearing. So everyone in here should listen. Don't waste your time. I'm encouraging all of you. Caleb, I see you looking at me. I praise God. Listen today. Don't check out. Listen. Today and every day, but let's not waste time. Let's engage. Think. Listen. Write. Don't worry about what time it is. Don't worry about what's for lunch. Don't worry about your bladder. Listen. Think about what's being said. This is powerful. There's nowhere else to go. We just sang about it. So everyone in here today would be wise to listen, think, and be changed. Listen, think, and be changed. Everyone in here, Annika, listen, think, and be changed. Care how old you are. You understand my words? Listen. Elijah, you should listen, you should think, and you should be changed. Sophia, you should listen to Daddy. You should think about what Daddy's saying. Duncan, the oldest one in here, you should listen, and you should think. And you should be changed. I must listen and think and be changed. I implore you to be ready to listen, think, and be changed. Everyone open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And we will be in verse 24 through 26 today. As you're turning there, let's remember where we've been in this epistle. The condemnation of all mankind that Paul has been giving since verse 18 of chapter 1. Remember all kinds of people, the pagans, the moralists, and the religious folks are all, none are right before God. All mankind is condemned because of their sin before God. No one is righteous, no, not one. None is as they ought to be. None is acceptable to God. That doesn't matter if you're a pagan, you're relatively moral, you're religious, or even if you're saved. You're not as you ought to be. I'm not as I ought to be. This condemnation is where we've been. And then last week, well, remember then Paul pulls out God's word in middle section of chapter 3. And he uses God's word to show all man being condemned. And then last week, we saw the solution. Verse 21 through 23. But now, the righteousness of God, the being as you ought to be, being acceptable to God, apart from the law, apart from anything you can do, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, it's been there in the Old Testament. This has been there forever, this solution. Even the righteousness of God, through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who have believed. All who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For anyone who believes, doesn't matter what kind of person you are, male, female, young, old, African, Icelandic, American, it doesn't, all kinds of people can be saved. Can have the righteousness of God. Be right with God as one ought to be. And now if you would stand for the reading of the word, we're going to read verses 24 through 26. It says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God's word for God's people. Glory to God. You can be seated. Notice the title of the sermon today. Sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. Bunch of Latin that none of us speak, right? That is four of the five solas. And what the solas were, there's only one sola that's not there, and that's the sola scriptura. Let me read that first. And this comes from the Westminster Confession of Faith. And this was written in 1646, based on Reformed theology, if you will. After the Reformation took place in the mid-1500s, there was a statement of faith that was written 100 years later in England that just summarized what the Protestant faith, or the Calvinistic, or the Reformed, or proper orthodoxy is. And here's what it says about sola scriptura. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. So the first of the solas that's not listed today was sola scriptura. Scripture alone. Nothing can be added to it. It is complete for salvation and for God's glory. No traditions of men should be added. No new revelations of the Spirit. By the way, no fresh words, strange fire. No more prophecy that doesn't line up with God's word. No new revelation. So that was what sola scriptura. And then the other four solas, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, and soli Deo gloria, grace alone. So justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. So the solas were the battle cries, if you will, for the Reformation against the teaching and praxis of the Roman Catholic Church. Scripture alone that teaches justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. That was the battle cry of the Reformation, because the Roman Catholic Church was teaching differently. So before we go into the text, and I'll mention Roman Catholicism a few times in the sermon, but I want to preach what the Bible says, but we want to put this into context so we understand. So the solas and why they were so important. The Council of Trent was, it took place between 1545 and 1563. There were 25 sessions. And the thing about the Council of Trent that you understand is that was the Catholics' council, the Roman Catholic Church's council. And what they got to do is they got together to write this document to refute Reformation teaching, to refute the Protestant heresies, as they called them. And the Catholic Church still uses the Council of Trent, along with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as their doctrinal statement, if you will. And here's what it says in the Council of Trent concerning sola fide, or faith alone. If anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, in such wise as to mean that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to the obtaining the grace of justification, and that it is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the movement of his own will, let him be anathema. What that says is, if anyone says it's faith alone, this is what the Roman Catholic Church says through the Council of Trent, and they still say, if anyone says that it's faith alone that saves one, let them be cursed. Let them be excommunicated. They are not part of the church. It goes on to say, if anyone saith that man is truly absolved from his sins and justified, because he assuredly believed himself absolved and justified, or that no one is truly justified but he who believes himself justified, and that by this faith alone, absolution and justification are effected, let him be anathema. In other words, it says, if you think by faith alone that you're absolved and justified, you're cursed. That's the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Believes. That's the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They clearly say it's not faith alone. They teach, and they taught, faith alone is not enough. It's faith plus works, plus the sacraments. One of the sacraments required for justification in the Roman Catholic Church is baptism. And these quotes I'm now going to read are from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Again, their doctrinal statement. Baptism is the first and chief sacrament of forgiveness of sins. Baptism is the first and the chief sacrament of forgiveness of sins, because it unites us with Christ, who died for our sins and rose for our justification, so that we might too walk in the newness of life. Baptism is required for the forgiveness of sin, says the Roman Catholic Church. Justification has been merited for us by the passion of Christ. It is granted us through baptism. It conforms us to the righteousness of God, who justifies us. It has for its goal the glory of God in Christ and the gift of eternal life. It is the most excellent work of God's mercy. The most excellent work of God's mercy is baptism, because baptism grants justification, is what they say. Now you know why they rush to baptize their babies. Not only baptism, but other good works. This is also from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We can therefore hope in the glory of heaven, promised by God to those who love Him and do His will. In every circumstance, each one of us should hope, with the grace of God, to persevere to the end and to obtain the joy of heaven. the joy of heaven, as God's eternal reward for the good works accomplished with the grace of Christ. Heaven is God's reward for good works, is what they say. Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can then merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification. So to be sanctified, we can earn grace. Grace is God's uncommon or unmerited favor, and they say we can earn God's grace for us and for others through the sacraments. More teaching of the Catholic Church. Penance. The sacrament of penance. That justification must be maintained by seeking forgiveness from a priest who will absolve you of your sins. Any sin you do after baptism in the Roman Catholic Church requires penance so that you can be brought back to justified. Here's what it says in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Christ instituted the sacrament of penance for all sinful members of His church, above all for those who, since baptism, have fallen into grave sin and have thus lost their baptismal grace and wounded ecclesial communion. It is to them that the sacrament of penance offers a new possibility to convert and to recover the grace of justification. So, the fathers of the church present this sacrament as the second plank of salvation after the shipwreck, which is the loss of grace. Every time one sins, they lose their justification. And they have to go to the priest and do penance. Hail Marys, Our Fathers, works. They have to do something to earn back the justification they lost when they sinned. So it's faith plus works. Again, the Council of Trent regarding penance. As a means of regaining grace and justice, penance was at all times necessary for those who had defiled their souls with any mortal sin. Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff to do. There's other sacraments, but the Catholic Church believes faith is necessary. They believe grace is necessary. They believe no one is seen to be righteous until God would declare them righteous, but they believe you have to have faith plus you have to actually be righteous to be declared righteous by God. And the way you get back to righteousness, if you will, or justification is you confess sins and you do penance. You do works. And that's how you be saved. But Romans 11:6 says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So, there's the backdrop at what was talked about in the Reformation, because it's so crystal clear in Scripture. As we're going to go through today, we are going to see sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. We are going to see it crystal clear. And these terms that we don't really use very much anymore, and these concepts, this is going to be a very beneficial day. There is so much richness in the understanding of the doctrine of justification. So many words we're going to look at that have so much meaning that it will very much edify us. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Okay, the text, verse 24. Being justified freely. We keep saying this word justification, and this whole doctrine, the doctrine of justification is what it's called. What does that word justified mean? The Greek word is dikaiō. Dikaiō. This is important. To render, declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought be. To render, declare, or pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. What justification doesn't mean is that we are made just, righteous, and just as we ought to be. When we are justified, we are declared righteous. We are not made righteous. We are declared righteous. See, there's part of the bad thinking the Roman Catholic Church got to. If you have to be made righteous, then you have to do those works to be seen as righteous. It's not made, it's a declaration that God makes. And it's interesting, I won't go into much of it, but we lost the word, when the word justified came in, when the Bible went to Latin instead of Greek. And the word justa, whatever it is for justified, it's used to something in Latin. That actually means to be made. But that's not what dikaio means. It means to be pronounced. Big difference. So it means God declares us to be righteous even when we still sin. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. There was a Latin slogan that Martin Luther used and then was said lots in the 1500s as well. As long as this solas, there was another Latin saying that I would commend to us. It was simul justus et peccatore. Simul justus et peccatore. What it means is simul, at the same time. It's the word we get simultaneous from. Simul, S-I-M-U-L, at the same time. Justus, that means just or righteous. At the same time righteous, et, means and, E-T, et. Peccaturo, P-E-C-C-E-A-T-U-R-O, I think. That means a sinner. So what that slogan says is, at the same time, righteous and a sinner. Because we aren't made righteous. The proof is if you look at your life, if I look at my life right now, is it sin-free as believers? No. But I am declared righteous. At the same time, I still sin. This is so dangerous, though, because we get heads nodding and amening, because then we think by grace we've been saved. And if that's true, what I just said, which it is, then I can keep sinning because I'm righteous. That's cheap grace. That's not true saving faith. But understand, beloved, simul justus et peccaturo. At the same time, righteous and a sinner, because God declared us righteous, not made us righteous. This is a judicial, legal judgment that God gives. It's a legal judgment. It's a judicial judgment. On the grounds of what? On the grounds of my righteousness? No, none. All fall short of the glory of God. No one's righteous. So he doesn't make that declaration based on my righteousness. How are we justified? This whole passage is going to tell us how we're justified, how we're declared as we ought to be. Being justified freely. Judicially, legally being declared by God as one is as they ought to be, and it costs us nothing. We did nothing to deserve it. The Greek word for freely, dorion. Dorion, it means without cost, for no reason, freely, or undeservedly. Without cost, for no reason, freely, undeservedly. So God's people are saved, justified, legally declared to be as we ought to be, acceptable to God, for no reason having to do with us. And we don't have to do anything, and we can't do anything, and we don't do anything to deserve that declaration of righteousness. If it were up to our actions, we could not be declared righteous, could we? But it's free. So our justification costs us nothing. But don't be confused. It costs God His own blood. There was a cost to it, but it wasn't a cost we paid. The declaration of righteousness cost us nothing. We did nothing to deserve it. It cost Him, God the Father, the death of His Son. But from man's perspective, undeserved, and we did nothing, it cost us nothing. We paid nothing for our righteousness declared. Let's move on. Being justified freely by His grace. By God's grace. Sola gratia. God declares righteousness. He justifies His people by His grace. Charis means kindness, goodwill, favor. God's favor or goodwill is what He pours out on His elect as He pronounces them justified. It is by God's grace that we are justified, beloved. We are not justified by anything other than God's grace. Sola gratia. Paul makes this perfectly clear in Romans, and he makes it perfectly clear in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. While you were still sinners, dead, He made you alive. He declared you as just. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, His people, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Down to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By grace, God's kindness, His goodwill, His special favor, you have been saved, not by anything you did do or will do. You were not saved by anything you did do or will do. You were saved by grace, if you're saved, beloved. Sola gratia. Justification is by grace alone. Paul says in Titus 3 that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Sola gratia, justification by grace alone. Paul is going to painstakingly go on to explain the orthodoxy of salvation through the next 8 chapters of the book of Romans. He does orthodoxy all the way through the first 11 chapters, and then chapter 12, it starts, therefore, and then he goes into orthopraxy, how we ought to live. So we're going to get to revisit these truths. Let's go back to verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Redemption. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Another wonderful word, rich in meaning, that defines the doctrine of justification. The Greek word is apalutrosis. Apalutrosis. It means a releasing affected by payment of ransom. redemption or deliverance. A releasing effected by payment of ransom, redemption or deliverance. Through the redemption, by God's grace, undeserved by me, through the payment or ransom, I was justified. I was held hostage to my sin. What's a ransom for? Think. What's a ransom for? I was held hostage to my sin. And God justified me by His grace. He redeemed me. He paid a ransom for me. I was hostage to my sin. I was hostage to the world. I was hostage, and He paid a ransom for me. Beloved, we needed redemption. A ransom needed to be paid. We needed to be delivered from our sin. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Son of Man's life was a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 2:5-6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. By grace alone, through the redemption, the payment of ransom, the deliverance from sin that was owed. We were owned by sin, we were held hostage to it, and there was a ransom paid. That's what redemption means. So we keep building on this verse. Being justified freely, declared righteous, no cost to us, nothing we did, undeserved, by His grace, through the redemption, the payment, that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Solus Christus. Solus Christus. We are legally declared as we ought to be by God, even though we are not yet as we ought to be, are we? Apostle Paul says, I strain. I haven't gotten there yet. Not that I've attained it, but I stretch, I press on. Right? Paul says, I haven't attained it. But even though I'm not as I ought to be, I am legally declared as I ought to be. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Through the ransom that was paid in Christ Jesus. Christus, solus Christus. No other way to pay the ransom. Only Christ. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our sins are paid for only in the name of, in the person of, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to be saved. Solus Christus. The current Pope, Pope Francis, I quote, you ask me if the God of the Christians forgives those who don't believe. By the way, the God of the Christians, if there's any other. Nonsense! But you ask me if the God of the Christians forgives those who don't believe and don't seek the faith. I start by saying, and this is a fundamental thing, that God's mercy has no limits. Which I agree with that. If you go to Him with a sincere and contrite heart. The issue, listen to what he says, the issue for those who do not believe in God is to obey their conscience. That's not solus Christus, that's solus your own consciousness, whatever conscience would be. He denies Christ. Pope Francis must not have read John 14:6. This is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He must have missed that part. Pope Francis must have missed Acts 4:12. Nor is there any salvation in any other name. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. He must not have read that part. Solus Christus. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus is how one is justified, declared righteous even though they're not. Not through their own conscience. And the Pope is infallible if you ask a Catholic. That means what he says is directly from God. Heresy is from the devil. It's a cult that is led by the devil. Because the Pope listens to his father, the love, the devil, and he tells lies just like his father, the devil, tells. Think. Listen, think, and be changed. Because it sounds a whole lot better, doesn't it? All you got to do, if you don't believe in God, is just follow your conscience. You might be in purgatory 3 million years instead of 3 years, but hey, you'll make it in eventually. Solus Christus, redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Solus Christus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Solus Christus. Let's move on. Verse 25. Whom God, Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation. A propitiation. Another wonderful, rich word. Now this word does not get used much anymore. But it ought. Beloved, I'm going to challenge you today to start knowing this word and using this word. Because instead of changing the message to something that people can understand, let's just use God's words. Let's use the original language that was given us. Because it's a slippery slope when we start changing words like slave to bondservant, isn't it? Propitiation. Greek word is hilasterion. Hilasterion. A means of appeasing or expiating. A propitiation. Means of forgiveness. Satisfactory atonement. So it means a means of appeasing or expiating. A propitiation. Means of forgiveness. Satisfactory atonement. Propitiation. What that means is it satisfies the demands of judgment. It satisfies the demands of what? God's wrath. Propitiation means that redemption in Christ Jesus, there is propitiation that happened at the cross. Justification includes the satisfaction of God's wrath to pay for sin. So part of being justified, declared righteous, is there was a propitiation. There was a satisfactory atonement. The wrath of God, the justice of God, was satisfied at the cross. That's propitiation. At the cross, Christ took on God's wrath to satisfy God's justice. He was a satisfactory atonement, propitiation. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. How God's wrath is satisfied, how God is appeased, is via the blood of Christ. Blood is needed to pay for sin. Blood is needed to satisfy God's wrath. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system was based on this truth. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The Old Testament sacrificial system is based on this truth that God demands blood to make atonement for souls. Jesus at the Lord's Supper says this, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" In my blood. The ransom price was the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb dying, bleeding. The blood satisfied God's wrath. The propitiation was in the blood. The ransom price wasn't $22 million or $14. The ransom price was blood, because that's the only thing that appeases or satisfies God's wrath. We are saved from God by God. Think about that. We are saved from God by God. There had to be a way in order for God to be just, as we'll get to, just and justified. Justice says, I need blood to atone for souls when there's sin. And your blood isn't going to cut it, and goat's blood isn't going to cut it, because y'all have sin, so all you're paying for is your own sin. The propitiation of Christ's blood, the justification that's in Christ Jesus, is because of His perfection and His bloodshed. That's what the propitiation is contained in. Let's move on. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. Through faith. Through faith. Sola fide. Justification by faith alone. I want to read you three quotes about how important the doctrine of justification by faith alone was to our church fathers. Martin Luther says this, "This doctrine is the article upon which the church stands or falls." Calvin says, "This doctrine is the hinge by which everything else turns." J.I. Packer says, "This doctrine is the atlas that carries the whole of the Christian faith on its shoulders." See, this is a big deal. Not just to combat the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church, it's a big deal for us to understand. Faith alone. We are saved. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God. And we can never forget that. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. Back in verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Greek word for faith we know is pistis. What can be believed? A state of certainty with regard to belief or trust. Believe to a complete trust. And we spent lots of time in last week's sermon looking at what true saving faith looks like. It's not mental assent. It's believe to a complete trust. It's that Jesus Christ is our Lord. It will be manifest by good works. Our lives will change if we have true saving faith. So we're not going to spend time on that, but this is where we mustn't be confused. Faith alone doesn't mean I get to say I have faith and my life be no different and expect that I'm saved, because even the demons believe, pistuo, and tremble. But what we remember is, what we're going to remember is sola fide. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Again, this is something Paul points out through all of his epistles. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 again. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." You have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nothing you did do or will do saves you. We are saved through faith. The reason that the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians was because the Judaizers had come in and were teaching these new Christians that it was faith plus adherence to Mosaic law that would have you be saved. So the reason he wrote the epistle to the Galatians was to refute the lie that the Judaizers were bringing in that was faith plus. Faith and anything. So, in Galatians, as you read it, we've taught this before, Paul introduces himself, and then what he doesn't do, he gives no flowery, I love you, I can't wait to get to see you, I'm so thankful and hopeful to God for your, none of that flowery stuff. He says who he is, and then right in verse 6 he says this, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. These people are teaching Christ plus works. Christ plus following the law makes you saved. Same thing the Roman Catholic Church is teaching. He writes this and says, they're perverting the gospel of Christ. And then hear this. But even if we or an angel from heaven, he's being sarcastic. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, which is faith alone, let him be accursed. The exact opposite thing they say in the Catholic the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Exactly the opposite of what it says in the Council of Trent. Paul says just the opposite. If you say it's anything but faith alone, you be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you received, let him be accursed. Those are very strong words from Paul about this false, heretical teaching on sola fide that the Galatians were being taught by the Judaizers. It is faith alone, Paul says. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Justified by faith alone. It can't be much more straightforward than that. And don't be confused about James where it says faith without works is dead. Because in James' epistle, what he's writing about is false faith. And he's pointing out for people that say they have faith, but they don't have works, that's dead faith. That's the kind of the faith that demons have. So don't try to say those two are in opposition to one another. They're not. It's faith alone. It's a faith that manifests itself in works, but it's faith alone. It can't be much more clear. Faith is how salvation has always occurred. In Galatians, he goes on, chapter 3, verse 6, just as Abraham believed, pistuo, God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Because he had faith, he was declared as he ought to be. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So only ones who are sons of Abraham are those who have faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Sola fide. Justification by faith alone, not works. Paul says to the church at Philippi, that he might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, Paul says. Not having my own ought to be as God would have me be. Not having my own acceptable to God, which is from the law, because I can't keep it. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. If anyone believes that they need faith and works to be saved, that's a lie. We get accused of preaching legalism. What we ought to get accused of is preaching proof text to true faith. Because that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach works unto salvation. The Bible teaches works because of salvation, but not unto salvation. So there is no necessity for works to be saved. I want to say it again. It's my repeating phrase of the day, Paul. Nothing you did do or will do saves you. No matter how sanctified I become, no matter how holy God causes me to be, I still can't do it, can I? I still fall short, don't I? Those works are not going to save me. My righteousnesses are filthy rags. Faith will manifest in works. It just will. But works has nothing to do with justification. The declaration of our righteousness. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's finish up. Starting in verse 25, we're going to read through verse 26. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Our justification, our salvation by grace through faith in Christ is not primarily or not about us. Salvation is about God. Salvation is about God and His justice and His mercy and His sovereignty. Listen, sola scriptura, the scriptures teach us that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. If I had anything to do with this, then it's not glory to God alone. It's glory to God and me. His gift, my receiving it. His offer, my acceptance. You see how it breaks down? That's not glory to God alone. Salvation is not about me. It's not about you, beloved. Salvation is about God and His glory. Salvation brings glory to God alone. Justification, declaring righteous what isn't righteous, brings glory to God. Me accepting, me choosing, me working brings glory to me, does it not? By definition? Wake up! Pope Francis and the rest of the Roman Catholic cult, wake up! Wake up, Arminian teachers! Read your Bible! To the glory of God alone. Don't you dare, Protestant church, call yourself part of the Reformation if you go back to Catholic heresies in your teaching. Don't say you're Reformed and then preach free will. Don't say you're linking arms with Martin Luther and John Calvin and then preach anything except glory to God in salvation. Salvation is not about us. We are the benefactors for sure. But it's not about us. Salvation is primarily about the glory of God. It is only about the glory of God. I don't want to say primarily because that'll get your minds wrong. It is only about the glory of God. Think. Listen. Think. Have your minds changed. To demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. Forbearance, the Greek word for forbearance is anake. Anake, it means patience, tolerance, or forbearance. There's a twofold meaning in God's forbearance that He had passed over sins that were previously committed. The Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament saints. First, the Old Testament saints. Look at Hebrews 9. And for this reason, He, Jesus, is the mediator. of the new covenant, which he talked about in 1 Corinthians when he was, which Jesus said at the Last Supper, right? The mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. What was the first covenant? The law. The sign of that covenant is circumcision. But the law was the first covenant. Remember? God says, if you keep my commands, then you'll be my people. So, Jesus died for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. Covers up the Old Testament saints. That those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Old Testament saints didn't know about Jesus per se, right? They didn't know about Jesus Christ. But here's what they didn't know about the cross. But they had faith that they could not keep the law and that they needed something to save them from that. And they begged for the mercy of God. They had faith. Faith in Hebrews 11, of being certain of things not seen. That's the faith the Old Testament saints had, the same faith you and I have. And Christ died to cover those transgressions as well. Hebrews 10, 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, the law, having a shadow, foreshadowing Christ, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. That's talking about the Day of Atonement. That's talking about every year they would come up and they would sacrifice on the Day of Atonement for the sins of Israel. The perfect lamb, the best lamb they had. It wasn't perfect. And he says, for then they would have ceased to be offered. In other words, if that could have cut it, we'd be done. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remainder of sins every year. They keep going back, sin's still there. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Old Testament sacrificial system of bloodshed of animals still couldn't take away their sins. Still did not fully satisfy the wrath of God. There was a foreshadowing of Christ, and that's what the Old Testament had faith in. God's forbearance for New Testament sinners. Two New Testament sinners we see demonstrated in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Very key, you remember in this verse, the us is speaking of believers. Go read it, you'll see that's in context what he's talking about. So the us is believers. So the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, forbearing toward us. Not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God wasn't willing that I die before September 11th of 2001. He was patient with me. He passed over those sins. To demonstrate His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just. And here's how He is just. He demands that sin be, that the souls of those who sin be atoned for through blood. And at the cross, He is just. Because Christ's blood is poured out to pay for, atone for, propitiation for my sins. Christ's blood was the propitiation for Old Testament and New Testament saints alike. God is just. Sin is paid for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. But He also, and He also has the authority to declare me righteous, to legally impute Christ's righteousness onto me and impute my sins onto Christ at the cross. He is the justifier. God justified me at the cross. He is just because He was paid what is owed. And He is the justifier. Because He then speaks that righteousness that was wrought. He speaks that righteousness. He declares, He pronounces me righteous. At the same time I sin. Glory to God. How big does God get? I think of that statement that I made earlier. We are saved from God. By God. Who else could save us from God? What else could save us from God but God? And God is holy and just, and so He has to be satisfied, and so blood had to be spilled. Blood that was sinless blood to cover up the sin. Psalm 85:10. Describing the happenings of the cross, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. At the cross, God was just and the justifier. He saved His people from Himself by shedding His own blood. Sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. I was justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Hallelujah! It is so rich to understand this passage. There is so much in this, and it's so rich and so much that we're going to go through it for 8 more chapters. Praise God. So as I read this again, today's passage, listen. Listen, think, and be changed. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Closing thought. God's people are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, and then forgive me for the typo, cross out by and write in. God's people are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, all to the glory of God. Alone. You can add. What a perfect plan for redemption that God has provided for those who recognize their unrighteousness, their hopelessness, and their desperate need for a Savior. So I want to wrap this all the way back around to this reality. This plan of redemption, this perfect plan of redemption that the sovereign God has given to save His people from Himself by His own blood, is only for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Sola fide. And that means you understand your wretchedness. That means you understand your hopelessness. One of the proof texts of salvation is, I still understand my wretchedness and my hopelessness. I don't rest on my laurels. I don't rest on my works. I don't rest on the changes God has wrought in me. Because those still don't cut it. Too many people make religion, make rightness with God be about faith plus works. Too many people make their faith in their faith be why they're right with God. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Which means I understand the reason, I understand the work, I understand the whole plan, and I understand my separation from God. I understand Romans 1:18 through Romans 3:20, 21, 20. I understand that every mouth will be stopped. I understand that there's no way to stand before God in my righteousness. I understand that today as well as I understood it September 11th. But make no mistake. You cannot be saved unless you understand your need for a Savior. And then the reality, beloved, is sola scriptura. The Scriptures teach us. Sola gratia, sola fide, solis Christus, soli Deo gloria. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And not mental assent. A life that shows you believe that. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a perfect plan. It is so wise. You are so wise. If we are left to our own devices, as a matter of fact, Father God, every religion in the world is a works-based religion except for your true religion, your truth. Everyone leaves it to our own devices. We try to devise plans to get right with you. Different angles, different ways, different sacraments. Father, but your perfect plan makes us hopeless and helpless, condemns us all. And the only hope we have is in faith in Jesus Christ. The only hope we have is to believe in the person, in the work, in the truth, in the way of Jesus Christ. And it's in His matchless, marvelous name I pray. Amen.